Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Well, if you're going to have a book launch and you're going to make it super cool, you launch two books at once. Margie Preuss, of course, launching two books at once. So this huge shindig, elephants, balloons, streamers, parades, bands, all scheduled for tonight and canceled because of the coronavirus. And now it's going to have to take place online. Margie Preuss with the details. Howdy there, Sunshine. Good morning.
Hi. I'll tell you, getting an elephant online is quite an effort.
You'll be busy today.
That's right.
But if anybody can do it, it's you.
Well, we'll see. I'm just putting information, blog posts, interviews such as this, and all kinds of other things that happen. I'm going to be putting those on my social media platforms, on my website, and this will be going. Oh, and I'm going to do live readings or readings from The Littlest Voyager, which is one of the two books that I'm launching beginning today, and also The Village of Scoundrels is the second book. But I'll be doing some readings on the Duluth Public Library Storytime site and on hashtag Operation Read Aloud and probably my Margie Preuss Books Facebook page. And those are just free. You can go and have a look.
Well, I would recommend, because it's a nonprofit and we can do that kind of thing, that you let the good folks on Facebook who run Virtual Duluth know. They put up the other day the most wonderful list of different live streaming. There were some lessons. There were some tutorials. Truman Dugan of the Food Farm, who is five, was hosting a program called Tractor Talk with Truman. And so, I mean, you could be up there in some pretty exalted company and let folks know that these readings are going to be there and folks will be some of the first to get a sneak peek at these books. Now, Village of Scoundrels came out last month. The Littlest Voyageur, so that's out any second now. Is it already out?
It just launched Tuesday.
Okay, so there we go.
So it's brand new and it's just out, but it is available at our local bookstores.
Fabulous. Now, I've got to tell you, I got to ask. I love talking with authors because I just think there's something so fascinating about how the creative process works. And as a consumer of authors, well, actually, books, not actual authors, they made me stop doing that. They frowned on it. I don't know what the problem was. I'm just so interested in the process. As you are going through your everyday life, consuming social media, interacting or not interacting with people, watching the evening news, are you making mental notes or scripting little scenes from an upcoming book? Are you already turning this experience into either a script for a play? You are a playwright also. A script for a play or scenes in a book?
When I'm working on a novel, I am thinking about it all the time. And sometimes, and not paying attention to what my family members are saying and not engaging with people quite the way that I would want to. Because in my mind, I'm working on things pretty much all the time. And yes, everything that I encounter goes into the hopper and is often sparks a little idea, a snippet of dialogue, an image, leads me to some kind of research I hadn't thought of before. All of these things play a part. And I feel like sometimes when I'm really in and going, kind of everything is there. Everything is pointing the way in some way. It's that mysterious serendipity.
It's the flow.
The flow. Yeah, I guess so. And since I do write historical fiction, and both of these new books are historical fiction, I do a lot of research. So, and for instance, Village of Scoundrels, which is based on the true story of a village in France during World War II that sheltered probably many thousands of Jewish children and teenagers rescued from French concentration camps. That is a story of real serendipity because through a friend, I was introduced to a woman who turns out to live in St. Paul, who grew up in this village, and she knew all these people who had been sheltered there, who had helped in the rescue effort, and introduced me to them. I went to France. I got to meet all these people thanks to her. And so it was just one of those beautiful kind of, like you said, it was a flow of perfect connections to make this book happen. And meeting those people is really, life-changing in a lot of ways.
Because you gravitate toward historical fiction, is there information coming into the hopper now and watching people's reactions in real time that is making you think, I need to do a book about the 1915 pandemic, flu pandemic?
I guess I'm 1918 one,
right?
Or the 1915 one?
Maybe it was 1917. That's a movie.
1918.
The question, of course, being that there are very few people alive who lived through that flu pandemic now, who would have remembered it, but we've got such a fascinating time, again, and I use the word fascinating in a guarded way, because if someone you love is ill or out of work, it's not particularly fascinating to you right now, but we are living in this extraordinarily interesting, difficult time, and we're right here to capture it.
Yes, that's true, and I'm sure there are a lot of people who are doing that, and I think that you don't have to necessarily be writing about this exact thing that's happening. I think what we're living through right now is a dark time, and what we need right now is hope and kind of a light shining through darkness. And so in one way, I feel like Village of Scoundrels, even though it's set in World War II, and it's not a war story, it's a rescue story, really. But it's a kind of a book that is very hopeful, and it shines a light of hope during a dark time. And I feel like readers, I personally, right now, would not want to read a book about a plague, or maybe Camus, the plague. I'll read that, but I don't want to watch movies that are about plagues and pandemics. And
so
I don't
you're
want
not
to
the
read per- about them.
You're not streaming Contagion, and
no,
and the,
no.
Like, because a bunch of people, there are these lists out, of course, but of course everybody emerges. They vanquish the bug and they emerge victorious at the end. So there's, from that standpoint, there's something there.
Yeah. I'm
not your deal.
I don't want to watch it.
Okay.
So another thing that's fun to read, speaking of my books, is something fun and light and funny and a way to vicariously enjoy the North Country lakes and waterways. And that would be The Littlest Voyageur, which is a very cute, funny, light romp with a red squirrel who wants to become a voyageur. So in 1792...
Well, of course, he looks so cute in the little hat with the tassel.
Well, he's matches the red hats and sashes already, so he feels like that's a start.
Oh, I love it.
Also, he loves to sing,
as the voyageurs did.
So, and the paddling and the, he can't paddle, he can't cook, but he can eat. He can't carry a heavy bundle across the portage, but he could carry something. And he loves to sing. So he feels that he's ready to become a voyageur. But I don't know if you've ever had a squirrel in your canoe with you.
I can think of, we had this conversation, actually, I believe, with Larry Weber not too long ago. Or maybe it was Judy Gibbs. It was Judy Gibbs. We were talking about the difference temperamentally between gray squirrels and red squirrels.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't necessarily mind being in the canoe with either, because I would have my camera and I would take pictures. But after that, a gray squirrel, no problem. A red squirrel, they're kind of feisty.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you might imagine, it doesn't go particularly well. He's not beloved in the canoe.
People are so anthropocentric. You know, but I mean, they're really anti-squirrel, anti-rodent. There's a really big faction out there that just is not supportive.
It's true.
I feel bad for him already.
Yeah. But he does make a friend, and he managed to hang on all the way from Montreal to Grand Portage.
Oh, good for him.
But then that's when he discovers what the voyageurs are there to trade.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then things go bad.
Things deteriorate pretty badly. So somehow this is a story. Now, you don't want to watch a movie about people suffering and vanquishing a plague, but you want to write a book and then read a book about a little squirrel discovering the reality of the fur trade.
Well, it's not... You're making it sound so heavier than it really is.
This is very disturbing. As a person who feels that she is a champion for animals, I'm finding this a very disturbing conversation.
Oh, well, you know, the squirrel is. He rallies the fur bearers, and they have a rendezvous to discuss what is to be done about this.
Okay.
And I can't give away how it all turns out, but it turns out well.
Okay.
Put it that
so
way.
It's one of those things when you sit down with somebody and you say, I want you to watch this movie, and they say, is the dog okay? And you say, the dog lives, he's fine, and they go, okay, fine, and they can watch the movie.
Yes. Yes. Not only does the little squirrel make it, he does quite well for himself.
Oh, this is excellent.
In a way that I really won't give away. You really have to read it and find out.
Or tune in for one of the book readings. And all those details are going
to
be
the end.
And all of those details are going to be up on your website. Margie, we're going to get a link set up on your to your website, so folks will be able to find some of this information, and they'll be able to please have a list of reading times, so in case somebody looks it up and it's too late to catch, you know, this morning's reading, they can tune in for the next one, you know, in 2 days or whatever it might be. So make sure that information's available. We'll get a link set up so it'll be easy for folks to find. And Margie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It is always a treat to talk with you. And I can't wait to see how this entire experience is going to be. Are you and that rowdy group, including Pat Castellano, still doing shows over in Superior Improv, or?
No, I'm an audience member now. But I do enjoy that group. They make us laugh.
Exactly. I could see you coming out of retirement to maybe do some scripts as soon as we can all get together once again and indulge in an orgy of being socially close and hugging and that sort of thing.
Yes, let's hope that happens sooner rather than later.
That would be lovely. Again, Margie, thanks so much for joining us. It's always a real treat.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Margie Preuss this morning, she has a couple of books being launched, Village of Scoundrels and The Littlest Voyageur. She's got all kinds of goodies available on her website, including some live readings, and she'll be letting you know when she'll be doing some live readings from her new book, newest book, The Littlest Voyageur. Information about all that good stuff is there on her website, and we'll get a link set up so that it'll be easy for you to find the information and look it up for yourself. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.